Good evening, members, and those who are with us this evening. This is Environment and Natural Resources Subcommittee on Public Lands and Waters. It is Monday, March 15th, 2010, and it is 6:05. And members, here's kind of how we're going to run the table tonight. We're going to do the lands bill last because we have some people from out of town. So we're going to take those individual lands bills that are with us, and Diane and I have established an order to go in. We know that some of the members who are presenting tonight have other commitments, so we're going to start with Senator Olson, then we'll have Senator Skoy, Senjum, Lori, Tomasoni, Sharon, Vandeveer, and then we'll finish with Saxhog and then the lands bill. I just appreciate everybody kind of trying. If you have questions, feel free to jump in there. I let the record show that we do have a quorum present. And we will start with Senate File 2981, Senator Olson on the state land sale requirement repeal. Senator Olson, welcome to the subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your accommodation. Senate File 2981. Is a bill that repeals a state land sale requirement that was put in place, I think, to balance the budget back in 2005, and it required $6.44 million in public land sales. That was not achieved, so it was amended in 2007. Still not achieved, and so it was amended in 2009. To extend this, and at the current time, we're approximately still about $2.4 to $5 million shy of reaching that $6.4 million. So, what's happened with that is that it has, from a financial standpoint, it's kind of a questionable practice because it affects the forecasts. In the last forecast, that $2.5 million is shown as income in our forecast. But if lands can't be sold, it won't be there, and it'll be shown as a shortfall the next time around. So my bill proposes repealing that. And the reason that the attention is coming here, not all land sales come through this division, but those that affect the natural resources and the Department of Natural Resources do. And the vast majority of publicly held lands are held by DNR. Are they in your folder, the DNR land sales under budget balancing law? Did you get that handout? I have one more here also that shows what lands have been sold throughout this whole period of time and what agency was responsible. So you get an idea of what has happened. So
if there's Carlton County Land Commission one.
Members, about third from the bottom, you'll find in your packet a DNR land sale under the budget balancing law. It's a one page, got two sides. If you go to the bottom, and there you go.
Is there anyone here that could get this one to you too as well?
This isn't one page.
Somebody's manning the window shades over there. Could
Is that Kathy Lewis on the other side? Is this Kathy Lewis?
Yes, Kathy Lewis has signed off on the back side. So, or.
Yes, this information is from DNR, responding not only to the efforts that they have put forth over the years, and I think you'll see with the state properties sold that DNR has sold in terms of acreage, has sold the most property, but not all of those have had as high a value. So the state agencies have sold about $3.93 million of state-owned land, but there is a balance left of $2.5 million. And of that amount, DNR has sold 48 parcels covering a total of 525 acres and with some over $2.2 million of that that portion that has been already sold. This piece reviews some of what, in fact, has been done between the two pieces. The DNR has kind of run up against a roadblock in that they have been continuing to offer parcels for sale, but we have put some obstacles in their way, but the economy has done so as well. So they have now available 14 parcels available for over-the-counter sales, and they have been unable to sell any of them. And some of those are listed here in the on that first page. The parcels offered at public sales at the bottom show kind of volume in acres. It can be a little bit confusing because it does not say which of those, if any of those, were sold along the way. But on the second page, you will see some of the reasons, and I think it's important to go over these. The reasons that DNR has not sold more parcels to meet the $6.44 million sale requirement. Number one, we require by state statute that the minimum bid sale price be the estimated or appraised value. And when you've got a real estate market as we have now, people are looking for bargains and parcels that are below cost. And so they're not ready to go out and give a full appraised value for land. And then I think, Senator Chaudhry, I remember you were responsible for, and you know, obviously we're successful in prohibiting any sale of land that is classified as a unit of outdoor recreation, the outdoor recreation system. Now, I don't have that copy of that section of law there, but if you have, that encompasses pretty much everything, the parks, trails, wildlife, natural areas, whatever. So it's Greg Knopp could fill us in if you wanted to know what all that encompasses, but it doesn't leave a whole lot of additional options. And the developers are not looking to acquire land. That one of those on that list is 80 acres of in Hastings. That's very buildable land that's up for sale, and I believe it's valued at it could be as much as it was over $5 million is what the valuation is. But there's no takers. Nobody's looking at building, with the housing market as it is today. And you'll note there's some other complications, changes of zoning to prevent things from happening. And not all of the land that they have, if it's been acquired with federal aid, can the proceeds for the sale of which be attributed to or designated to the general fund. So these are barriers, and that is why I introduced the bill that would repeal this and get us back to at least square one. The problem with it, and I'll share that with you, the problem is that it has a fiscal impact. There's $2.4 million they're counting on, and if we take that away, you know, where is it going to come up with? If you look at the copy of the repealer, you will see that if that's the sales were not attained, they were to be the executive can the governor can allocate that additional the amount that is not met, allocate that as cuts to the various executive agencies. And the general feeling that's also made it difficult and driven some behavior that some of us have not been exactly pleased with by DNR in terms of, because they've needed the money in terms of these transactions. They believe that most of that would come out of DNR's hide, if you will. And that was affirmed to me in a conversation today with the Office of Management and Budget that they would probably be the ones to make that recommendation. And obviously, if they had the most land to sell, they'd probably have to carry the largest portion of the brunt of that cut. So having said that, I don't know if any of you have any questions or if I've described that clearly enough of the dilemma that's been created here before I go further.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Senator Olson, on the one sheet that you handed out, in the third bullet, you talked about the DNR sold 48 parcels, 525 acres. Most of the parcels raised less than 50,000 each. Two of the largest sales parcels have been, and one of them is the Gordy Yeager WMA.
Yes.
Is that part of the proceeds going towards the $6.44 million sale requirement?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, yes.
Senator Olson.
So then, Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, on the other sheet that was handed out, it says that the Gordy Yeager WMA was sold in the third quarter of 2009 after the law prohibiting that was passed. Am I not reading that correctly?
Mr. Chairman, I think somebody from DNR could answer that, but I think it might have been removed
Senator
from
Olson,
that before.
I think we've got Mr. Knopf can.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, I think that's fiscal year 9, and so the third quarter of fiscal year 9 would have been January, February, March of last year, before the law was enacted.
Maybe Ms. Lewis can talk about that. I don't remember.
Senator Chaudhry?
Chair, I don't remember. I remember seeing other lists, and I don't remember seeing this type of WMA, but I could be wrong.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Senator Chaudhry, Ms. Lewis has indicated that was vacated before that law went into effect and then was sold to Olmsted County.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, whoever can answer, how about the Eagle Point, Hog Island, and Eagle Bluff?
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Lewis. If you'd identify yourself as you answer the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kathy Lewis, Assistant Director, Lands and Minerals Division, DNR. There's several parcels on the list that do have the WMA designation. We have to go through a vacation process where we do a public hearing, and then the commissioners or the directors sign a vacation notice. In all instances, the vacations occurred before the new law went into effect, 86-8055, but in some cases the sale occurred after the new law went into effect, but they were no longer WMAs at that time. We've listed them as WMAs on the list because they were known as WMAs. The Gordy Yeager WMA was sold directly to the county for county facilities.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Lewis, so the DNR has simply been doing to get around the 09 laws, just decertifying these parcels as WMAs?
No.
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry, no. The vacations occurred before the law went into effect. So there were parcels that the WMAs had been vacated, so they were no longer wildlife management areas. The parcels were under the administration of the DNR at that time, and then they were sold.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Olson, so to understand, the state is not, or we're not, obviously we're not selling the required amount of $6.44 million. So this is going to stop any activity for that in that regards, or is the DNR going to continue to try and at least sell some? I know in my district, and I think it's probably coming from all over, that the state has been acquiring an awful lot of land, and I think this was one of the ways to offset a little bit, no net, not necessarily that, but to be able to sell some land that was less than desirable for the first intending reasons. So I guess,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
There are lands that are already designated. You've seen some examples here, and there is more. I believe that DNR has a proposal that's in one of your bills tonight for approval of releasing some more lands that would be put up for sale toward meeting this end. You know, without some type of action, they have to continue to do that. One of the notions that is in another bill, I believe, is to not hold them to the appraised value.
Right.
You know, I don't know what you feel about that, but I think that because of our downturn, giving away our lands is not the best stewardship either. giving away lands that have value and should be, I don't mean giving away, but at bargain basement prices because there is no market for them, is not necessarily the appropriate thing to do. Yeah, but we've put them in a very difficult position, and we're in a difficult position. It is just not a very responsible way of going about raising revenue in this fashion, with a set dollar figure and a timeline for doing it, when there may or may not be market to be able to get the return on the investment, the public's investment that we should. But I do have sympathy for DNR being put in this position, and I would like to offer, if you accept it as author's amendment, the A1 amendment.
Senator Olson will be offering the A1 amendment. We'll get that passed out. And Senator Olson, it's a short committee here, so while that comes around the table, a brief description.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this removes the fiscal impact of it, and essentially adds language to the current law that indicates that the amount required of the Commissioner of Natural Resources for sale to meet their share is the $2,216,000, which is essentially what they have done, and that the reductions in operating expenditures and the Department of Natural Resources are there. In other words, that it's not going to all come out of the DNR's pocket in terms of cuts by virtue of this being changed. So. I have another ally in Senator Scoy.
You have another one with me, Senator Olson. So.
this has a path to go. I think one of the things that we can consider down along the way is that some of these lands that are up for sale, if they are able to be sold within the next two or three years, that money could go into the general fund rather than into the land acquisition fund, which it would probably normally do as a way of contributing to this into the future. I don't know what other agencies, if you look at the list that was handed out, well, some of the prices were bigger. There are in numbers, there weren't as many parcels that were available from other agencies. I don't know if there's more out there, but it, essentially, as the folks at Office of Management and Budget said, that this is not only hard to realize, it's almost impossible to achieve given the setup that we have right now.
Senator Ingebretson moves the A1. Further questions? Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, so Senator Olson, your bill now simply, you've just reworded your bill by saying that the amount the DNR shall sell is limited to what they've already sold?
Essentially.
To date?
Mm-hmm.
Others who would like to speak to the bill? Senator Chaudhry.
The thing I would say is we will see the reason why we need Senator Olson's bill later on in the agenda, because the DNR has a number of proposals to sell land in exception to what we passed last session. And so I actually preferred the original language because they won't stop doing that until we repeal the law. I think it's just a little strange that, and they will just, under your language, they'll just continue to keep asking, notwithstanding this law, we want to sell this for this amount for the general fund. And if members recall, it was the DNR that proposed an extension in 2011 for the sale of these lands for the general fund. And now, less than a year later, they're seeking exception to the very rule that they proposed. I understand your finance part of it, and I'm think we need to do whatever we can to tighten the noose on this practice. But I think the main point of all this is that none of this prohibits the sale of land. It's only guiding where the proceeds go, general fund or the land acquisition account.
Senator Scoy, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just feel that I couldn't sit and not say something in support of Senator Olson's effort. We've had conversations this summer about how this is actually quite an inhibitor to the DNR in some of their other practices. I have an amendment that I'm going to be offering to my bill that is a direct pertainment to this issue, in that the DNR, in their budget-cutting efforts, wants to close the Roy Lake Fire Station, and it would save them quite a bit of operational money. White Earth is willing to pick up the operational costs of that station, so last year we had legislation that would allow the DNR to sell the Roy Lake Fire Station to White Earth for less than market value, and they had worked out a deal where that was going to be a dollar. Well, the bill got hooked up in this land sale deal, and all of a sudden it gets to be $40,000, and now I hear $26,000 or something like that, even though White Earth is going to be responsible for maintenance of the facility and all the operational costs, and DNR would like to have staff there during the height of fire season. They're not able to go forward with this because of this issue that Senator Olson has brought before the committee. And so, you know, I think it's not a good policy that was placed upon the DNR, and it's causing problems in other areas than just this land sale budgeting issue.
And Mr. Chair?
Senator Olson.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Scoy. The challenge is, and I said my head's been swimming over this issue, especially the last few hours, of you know, liking to go ahead with an absolute repeal. But this will go to the Finance Committee. How many of the most of the budget chairs sit on the Finance Committee. They don't want to take more of a hit than they're already going to in terms of the reconciling of the budget. And so we will have another, you know, 2.45 million that's got to be somehow found the way to make those cuts or make those adjustments. And it's just it doesn't have a great deal of chance, I think, mm-hmm. of going through the way it is. And so I think we need to find some ways that we can be responsible in our handling of our public assets with the sale of it, trying to resolve these things, but and if it means carrying part of it on, I think that our DNR should not be having to have the full brunt. They're spending a lot of energy on this when they've got other things that they need to be doing as well, like managing the lands that they have. So that I would appreciate your support of this, and it will move on, you know, in the bill to our full committee, and you know, finance. There will be other opportunities to make some adjustments. If you've got some bright ideas that would improve this whole situation, I certainly am open to them, because I've spent a lot of energy trying to look for a way to resolve this, and I appreciate your consideration.
Further questions? Seeing none, Senator Saxog moves Senate File 2981 as amended be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Olson, thank you for your work.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator Scoy, Senate File 2357.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 2357 is a bill that is required for the legislature action. It's land that is bordering public waters in Manoman County. I believe the county board has a letter in your packet in support, and I believe the DNR is in support of this also. But as I just stated with regard to Senator Olson's effort, I do have an amendment that I would like to add to this bill and see how it goes. So if somebody would be willing to offer the 2864A-2 amendment, it's the A2 amendment that I had drafted toward the lands bill, but I'd like to have it placed on this bill instead.
Senator Ingebrigtsen has moved the 2864A-2.
And, Mr. Chair, I think that DNR might want to testify on this. This is the issue that I just talked to you about with regard to on Senator Olson's initiative. What happened is the White Earth and the DNR were working to find a way to keep the Roy Lake Fire Station open. And we had worked out an agreement by where the DNR would sell this to White Earth for a dollar. They would operate it as a fire station and be responsible for all the costs of operating that. So we passed this legislation last year in Section B there that the commissioner may sell the land for less than the value. Well, it got into the commissioner's office and got hooked up into this mess that Senator Olson was talking about. So at this point, I would like to go back to the original agreement. I understand that the House has different language, so this is going to get resolved as it moves through the process. But I would like to have this included in the lands bill so we can continue discussion on this issue.
Is someone from the DNR willing to talk about that while they do? While you come to the table, members, if you're looking at the amendment, it should read Senate file number 2357. We're making a technical change there. We had the wrong Senate file number in there. And then on 1.2, it should say page 1 after line 23. And that would make the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And whoever, if somebody moves that, they could incorporate that.
Senator Ingebretson, move the amendment and the incorporation. Let's get the amendment.
Well, you better let the DNR talk.
Oh, Senator Skoy, do we have to?
Well, you don't have to.
Ms. Lewis, tell us what you think of the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Roy Lake Station is being closed by the DNR, and we have a written offer to the tribe at appraised value, which is $42,000 plus change. In the House last week, the proposal was to change the value to $26,500. Commissioner Holston was passing through the room and said that would be acceptable. Our issue with the $1 is the same issue you just heard. We're under requirement to be selling land, and we are charging appraised value to other units of government. And so the question is, why would we not sell it at appraised value to the tribe?
Senator Skoy.
Well, and Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to answer that question for the DNR. The reason that you would sell this for a dollar as opposed to what you're talking about is because instead of the station being closed, which if you listen closely to what you said, they said the DNR is going to close this station. We have need for this fire station in that part of the state. The fire station will remain open, and it won't cost the DNR anything, and they will, in fact, be able to have staff there during the high fire season.
Senator Skoy, or Senator Ingebretson, go ahead.
Senator Skoy, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the DNR is going to close this for a reason. They can't, obviously, they can't afford to station it. Is that right? And my second question, then, Senator, would be the White Earth is going to, the man is going to take this for forever? I mean, for how long?
Senator Skoy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ingebretson, as long as the land is used for public use, if you look on page 1, line 12, line 13, it would revert to the state if they're not continuing to use it as a public fire station or, you know, for public use.
Members, it's got a conveyance provision in there. It's a use deed, basically, and as long as they're using it for what the intended purpose, it would stay in their control.
And Mr. Chair and members,
or Senator Skoy,
this is the agreement that the DNR and White Earth had worked out prior to them getting hooked up in this land sale stuff.
Further questions?
No. Oh, we haven't. I thought you asked if we had.
No. Seeing none, we are on the Skoy amendment, the A2. It has been moved, but those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Skoy, anything else to add to what you have in front of us?
Nothing, Mr. Chair.
Anything else from the DNR? Apparently not. Senator Saxog will then move that Senate File 2357, as amended, be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Senator Senjum. We've had people from Olmsted County in this building all day. It's time to get their work done and head for home. Welcome to the committee.
I agree, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair and members, Senate File 2560 is a land conveyance, and I'll just say a couple words and pass it on. This relates to a parcel of land in the city of Orinoco. It was actually conveyed by the state to Olmsted County in 1965. It was a state park, the Orinoco State Park. Olmsted County has had it for the intervening 30-plus years, and at this point they want to convey it to the city of Orinoco. And by the way, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if it's been passed out, there is an agreement signed on the back. This is all sealed, if you will. DNR signed off, the county, the city, and so on and so forth. So I think all the homework's been pretty well done on this. We just need to move it through the legislative process. Mr. Chair and members, I don't know who wants to go first.
I'll take Tom Ryan, if you don't mind, Senator.
Fine.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself as you begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Thomas J. Ryan. I'm Superintendent of Parks for Olmsted County, and I'm at your disposal to answer any questions you may have or be interested in as far as the timeliness of this matter, any of the civic dialogue and discussion may have gone on. Senator Senjum spoke very succinctly to the fact that this was a very open and vetted cooperative and collaborative agreement between the citizens of Olmsted County and the city of Orinoco, which is part of Olmsted County.
Questions for Mr. Ryan? Mr. Cannon? Maybe.
Senator Senjum. I probably neglected to mention we gave the city government of Orinoco as a council meeting tonight. We gave them a break in terms of coming up here. I hope that's okay. We felt this was relatively non-controversial. They had signed off, so they're not here tonight, but they fully support this.
Mr. Ryan, just give me a real quick history. How long has this been in play, or is this something that came up in 2009? Or
no, it hadn't. Anecdotally, the Olmsted County commissioners had often spoke to the need, as Olmsted County Parks is beginning to change with the times and with their population base, becoming perhaps more focused on larger regional parks. As you well know, when we try to facilitate regional parks, we're more competitive at the state level for grants and things like that. More to the point, the city of Orinoco has always embraced this park, and it really is a gem for the for the city. So as a result of the local budget troubles that we're all having, last year the manager of Orinoco Park chose to take early retirement. And as a result of that, and with some discussion with the City Council of Orinoco and the County Board, everybody agreed that perhaps this would be the best time to turn the park over to them. One thing I may point out, and Mr. Canan might as well, is that Olmsted County is also proud of the fact that we didn't do that without being good stewards of this property. For instance, for I believe it'd be 9 years now, Olmsted County has turned over the operating budget for this park to the city of Orinoco to give them the opportunity to kind of to grow with this park and to not put any undue financial burden on the city of Orinoco. So this has really been something that we've discussed. It has been done before in Olmsted County. The same type of transfer happened with Bear Cave Park in the city of Stuartville 20-plus years ago. And again, the idea behind that was is that as municipalities grow, they had been interested in maybe using these parks as a way to further create their own identity.
Pretty well-developed park, Mr. Ryan?
Well, it's just right. There's lots of green space, and there's a 20-by-40 shelter, and there's a WPA era restroom. So it's still a gem. We'll all enjoy it regardless.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And speaking of gems, I'm going to jar my memory a little bit here. Was there some gold or something here at one time that somebody was prospecting some years back?
Mr. Ryan?
Mr. Chairman.
Is that a different parking?
Actually, no. However, we are a bit more parochial about gold, particularly with budget times as they are. So,
never any mention of any gold?
At one time years ago, there was at least a perceived discovery of gold in that area.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, not to bore you with details, but it's the environmental educator in me, I think the county seat was also debated that it might be in Orinoco as well. So.
Mr. Chair, Senator Edgar-Ritson, that's really the main reason Orinoco wants this. It is loaded with gold.
Yeah.
Mr. Canan, did you want to? Did I get that name right, by the way?
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did you want to testify?
Sure.
Please identify yourself.
Sure. My name is Tom Canan. I'm an assistant county attorney with the Olmsted County Attorney's Office. I kind of worked on the legal aspects of this. And just to give you some background here, the state did agree this was a formerly Orinoco State Park to transfer to Olmsted County. It was done in two separate deeds, one in 1967 and the second in 1985. We're not exactly sure why it was split into two parts, but nevertheless, both of the deeds contain the condition that basically there's what's called a reverter clause. If the county ever ceased to use it for public park purposes, it was to revert to the state of Minnesota. And so the DNR staff indicated to us that we needed to have legislative approval then in order to basically get that reverter condition removed so that we could have this transfer go through to the city of Orinoco. So I guess I can answer any other questions that you might have, but that's really why we're here today.
Questions for Mr. Canan? Others who would like to testify? If not, Senator Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So what's the reason for the transfer?
The reason for the transfer? Mr. Ryan, maybe.
Mr. Chairman, the primary reason is a change in Olmsted County Parks and in the Olmsted County government in regards to the types of properties that we want to concentrate and maintain. This particular parcel is hardly a distraction, but with, as I mentioned, the staffing challenges that we're having and the loss of staff within my division to maintain this property, it seemed to be a perfect fit at the time to entertain whether or not the city of Orinoco was interested in taking this park over as their own.
Follow-up?
Mr. Chair, so the city wants to, it was conveyed to the city for the use of a park, and the city's now interested in developing it?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, actually, no, they're quite fond of the park as a park, and there was considerable discussion among the Olmsted County Park Commission, my citizen board, and certainly county board, citizens of Orinoco, and the Orinoco City Council about that. To that end, my leadership wanted to make it very clear and understand very well that the city of Orinoco valued this acreage as green space in perpetuity. And we felt very confident that they are and do value it as such. The other thing to maybe, if the devil's in the details, and Mr. Canan can speak to this a little more clearly, but as I mentioned, we continued our investment, our operating investment by transferring that over to the city of Orinoco as well. And I believe that one of the points that really brought this home for our local community is that if for some reason or another, for all park enthusiasts, if something happened that the city of Orinoco would have a change of focus, or I don't know, maybe somebody would come in and change the whole tone and texture of their city council, that they would be responsible for repaying the citizens of Olmsted County for this operating budget that we will be giving them for 10 years. Does that help?
Mr. Chair, so
Senator Chaudhry,
is it going to continue as a park?
Mr. Ryan.
Absolutely.
That's all I want to know.
All right. Further questions?
Seeing none. I get what's
Senator Chaudhry.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Is there a sale price?
Mr. Ryan?
Mr. Chairman, I think I'll defer to Mr. Canan on the particulars of that.
Mr. Canan.
Well, there's no set sale price, Mr. Chairman. Basically,
no consideration.
Right. I mean, it was my understanding back in the 60s that basically the state transferred it to the county with no consideration, so we didn't feel like it was fair to charge the city of Orinoco consideration if we got it basically for nominal consideration from the state. So,
I see. Okay.
Further questions?
One other thing, I'm sorry, that I should point out also. There is a language also in this deed which will basically continue that reverter condition. So, again, not only if Orinoco would have a change of heart and try to use it for another purpose, not only would they have to pay those funds back from the county, but also the land would also revert back to the state. So I think there's double assurance there that they're going to hold up their end of the deal here.
Further questions? Thank you, gentlemen, for your testimony.
Thank you.
Seeing none, Senator Pariseau moves that Senate File 2560 be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Taps on the gavel for that one. Thank you, Senator Senjum.
Thanks.
Senator Lurie, Senate File 2245 and then Senate File 2497.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I've got two gavel swings for you as well.
And we've got some handouts coming around. Is that right, Senator?
Yeah, there were some handouts. These two bills together comprise five sales of lands adjoining public waters that need this type of legislative authority to do. I should say each of these has the county has determined that the county's land management interests would be best served if the lands were returned to private ownership, and we have the resolutions from the county boards doing it. We're taking up Senate File 2245 first, said?
That is correct, Senator.
This is for three parcels that will be subject to public sale, and that's really it. I mean, there's a map of the three parcels, one with Dead Fish Lake, one with the city of Aikenson on it, and Moosehorn River, one with Dredged Branch of the Kettle River, parcel right near that. And each of these would be put up for public auction if we approve this. I do have the Carlton County Land Commissioner, Greg Bernieu, here for questions if members have any.
Mr. Bernieu, welcome to the committee, and if you would like to kind of share your thoughts on at least take us one at a time here. 2245, I think, is the bill we're dealing with right now, and if you'd identify yourself before you begin your testimony, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, Mr. Chair, my name is Gregory Bernieu. I'm the land commissioner for Carlton County, here on behalf of my county board that authorized the sale of these parcels. Again, like the DNR, we have an active land sale program. Some of these do incorporate parcels of water. Statutorily, if it's over 150 feet of frontage, I need special legislation and the governor sign off on these parcels. All the parcels I'm throwing before you today do have over 150 feet of water. If there's questions about a particular parcel, I will feel free to answer them.
Well, Mr. Bernieu, do you get into land sales quite often in Carlton County?
Mr. Chairman, Carlton County tries to have an annual land sale. The last 3 years, we've had one land sale. We skipped last year, so we're having one this year. Last year's just lack of parcels and lack of interest. The market is on a terrible downswing right now. We currently have seven parcels still available over the counter from our 2008 land sale at a value of just under $300,000 of land still available to first come, first serve.
And you, excuse me, but you touched on my follow-up on the down market. Does it appear that you have people interested in land this year?
Mr. Chair, these parcels that I've brought before you today were all requested by the general public to be put on our land sale. Part of the process by Carlton County is if a member of the public is interested in a parcel and it fits the criteria set by the county board, whether it's conservation or non-conservation lands, we will pursue a land sale.
And I would assume you have a price in mind?
Not yet, sir. The price will be determined by the county board. Normally, it would be either appraised by a third-party appraisal, or we would use the county assessor's land value.
How far in advance, if you're going to do an appraisal, Mr. Bernieu, is the public made aware of that number? Maybe what I was getting at.
Yes, Mr. Chair, by state statute 282, we do have to advertise in the paper of record at least twice, 10 days before the date of sale. So if our sale, for example, is going to be in August, we would have this our listing out to the general public in the paper of record and our county website by the end of July.
Other questions for Mr. Bernou on the three parcels listed in Senate File 2245? Seeing none, Senator Saxog moves that Senate File 2245 be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion on the Public Lands and Waters Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Lurie, Senate File 2497.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 2497 is similar in nature. It has two parcels, and these two parcels are for private sale. Parcel one needs to be a private sale because it is a non-conforming lot and would not be able to be sold to anyone from the public other than an adjoining landowner. And so it could be sold to an adjoining landowner to make one larger parcel. If that landowner were to purchase it, they wouldn't be able to sell except for that larger parcel that is created upon that sale. The second parcel is similar in nature. It is landlocked, and there is no access to it. And so it would also only be able to be purchased by adjoining landowners and would then be part of that adjoining landowner's broader parcel and would not be able to be sold except with a sale of the entire newly created parcel. And so these are private rather than public sales, but because they are both unable to be sold to a general member of the public.
Senator Lurie, you end up here in the subcommittee. These are typical pieces that we would have in a lands bill. Wait a minute. I'm looking at two different. Did you have an amendment, Senator Lurie?
Oh, I get an A1 amendment first, and that speaks to the need to switch it to a private. I think it, as introduced, it was maybe public.
Senator Saxog moves the A1.
There we go.
And I think Senator Lurie has already kind of described
the
A1. Yes,
I've described the A1. Apologies.
That's all right. And further questions on the A1? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We do have Senate File 2497 as amended in front of us. Further questions on Senate File 2497 as amended? Seeing none, all those in favor, or rather, we got to move this, don't we? Senator Saxog will move Senate File 2497 as amended. Be recommended to pass, laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Chair and members.
Senator Tomasoni. Welcome to the committee and Senate File 2412.
Pleasure to be here, Mr. Chair. I believe there's an amendment, Mr. Chair.
We will be passing out an amendment to Senate File 2412. And while they do that, you can describe what's coming out here, Senator.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the amendment just adds some language to the bill that makes it more accurate. And the bill itself is related to a parcel of property that is an inadvertent trespass. And apparently the people who have lived on this property for the last, since about 1976, their property that they've been using is over the property line, but nobody knew it until they actually used the GPS system to find it out. So the county has agreed to sell them the property that they need to sell so they can avert the trespass. And I think everybody's agreed to do this. So the amendment, I think, just makes it more clear as to what direction to go as far as the sale is concerned.
Mr. Knopf, is that your interpretation of what we're doing here as well?
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, the legal description in the bill is of the person's property now. And what this does is say that St. Louis County can sell enough land to remove the inadvertent trespass of adjoining land. So now it'll say it's adjacent. St. Louis County can sell land that's adjacent to the person's current parcel and sell enough of it to rectify the inadvertent trespass. That's the way I understand how the amendment works. There was an issue with the bill where it had the actual legal description of the person's property now. And apparently, we don't know exactly what the legal description is going to be of the adjacent parcel. So this just makes it clear that whatever is needed is going to be conveyed by private sale.
And Senator Tomasoni, any local units of government have all signed off on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I have some letters to that effect. So,
First, let's move the A1. Senator Engelbretson will move the A1 amendment. Questions? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Further questions on Senate File 2412 as amended? Seeing none, Senator Saxog will move that Senate File 2412 as amended be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill.
Possible inclusion?
Yep. You get treated the same as everybody else, Senator.
Nothing definite here.
We still have some reservations about this one. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator.
Good committee. Thank you very much.
Senator Sharon. Members, this is Senate File 3160. Senator Sharon, welcome to the subcommittee.
Thank you very much, Senator. I am here to ask this committee to support this bill, which is an act relating to state lands authorizing the conveyance of certain surplus state land authorizing the acquisition of land. What is happening in the city of St. Peter, the regional treatment center that is there, along with the city and the Minnesota Department of Transportation, are cooperating and constructing a new street between a series of access roads that approach the regional treatment center. The new street's going to be constructed on city land, and in the process of the engineers doing the project discovery, they found that there was a 25-foot tract of land with an unknown ownership that paralyzed the road on the right-of-way to the east side of Washington Avenue. This problem created all sorts of complications for a person whose house and garage had moved over a little bit into this 25-foot tract of land. So what became a problem of determining the correct ownership had to be resolved between the city and the state. That's what this bill does, and in the process of resolving those issues through this bill, the city will be able to take some of this unknown ownership tract of land and return it to the owners who originally had it, gave an easement to the railroad, who then gave that easement for transportation purposes, gave it to the city, and it just kept floating along until, in the course of things, it became unclear as to who the ownership of the land was. And it's a simple conveyance of land.
Members, you'll see most of it is legal description. But, Senator Sharon, is there any money exchanging hands?
No, there's not any money exchanging hands.
The road been built yet? Working on it?
They're working
on it. Yeah.
Sometimes we catch up a little late.
Sometimes we catch up a little late. Further questions on Senate File 3160? Seeing none, whose turn is it? Senator Parasol? Move Senate File 3160 be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Vanderveer?
Present.
Oh. Don't sit behind the column, Senator. You might get missed.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Vanderveer, Senate File 2627.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep.
Mr. Chair and members, this authorizes a private sale of certain lands in Washington County, and from the County Auditor's Office, Mr. Corbett is here, and he will explain the transactions and the need for the bill.
Senator Vanderveer, do we want to move your amendment first?
Yes, we would, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Senator Engelbretson will move the Vanderveer Amendment 2203. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. This is Senate File 2627 as amended, and I'm sorry, but I did not catch your name.
No problem, Mr. Chair. I'm Kevin Corbett. I'm the Director of Property Records and Taxpayer Services for Washington County. That's the combination of the County Auditor's Office and some other offices. The bill before you has two separate sections. Section 1 is five parcels that are actually in the middle of the St. Croix River. Two of the parcels border the city of Scandia, and two parcels are on the border of May Township. The properties forfeited anywhere from 1928 to about 1945. We have granted, as the county, to the National Park Service a right of entry onto the parcels to review them for their purposes. Both the City of Scandia and the Township of May have approved of the sale of these parcels to the National Park Service. Much of the land that surrounds these parcels within the river are also currently owned by the National Park Service in that area. And if the bill is approved, the next step would be for the National Park Service to do an appraisal, and then they are required by federal law to pay the county the appraised value for the parcels in a sale. The second section of the bill is a parcel that's in the City of Forest Lake in the Scoglin Park subdivision. The parcel forfeited in 1982. It's roughly 2 acres in size, and it borders a boat harbor and a channel on Forest Lake. Been working with the surrounding owners and the DNR, and the city has approved of this sale as well. The amendment that you just adopted cleans up the legal description for that parcel and also gives the county the authority to split the parcel prior to sale. It finds that it's in its best interest to do that and to ensure a sale of the property. So those are the two groups of parcels we're asking for approval for a private sale.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you explain to me how the parcels ended up in the middle of the river?
Mr. Corbett.
Mr. Chair and Senator, how they ended up in the middle of the river? That's probably years and years ago. Okay. There is quite a bit of land, actually, that's within the St. Croix River where there's islands. And in that part of Washington County where the rivers kind of split, the border between Washington County and Wisconsin actually takes the eastern route to the river. So everything on the western side of that part of the river is considered Washington County. And so it's all these islands that are within the river that at one point were under private ownership and have gone into tax forfeiture. Much of the land has been acquired by the National Park Service up there. There is still some land within the river that's privately owned and still paying property taxes.
Thank you. And follow up. No, I understand. I can't imagine what I was thinking, that this would be underwater, but that's very clear now. Thank you.
Mr. Corbett, in Section 2, why aren't you offering that for public sale?
Mr. Chair and committee members, the parcel is not buildable. There's a lot of wetland and fairly environmentally sensitive land there. And so the highest and best use seems to be to have it attached to the adjacent landowners and be part of their parcels. So that was the decision, where we do a adjacent owner sale rather than a public auction.
And Senator Vanderveer, you've got local units of government that have signed off on this as well?
Signed off on the sale, I believe.
Yes.
Mr. Corbett, is that?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We've worked with the City of Forest Lake is in agreement with the adjacent owner's sale. And then in the other two cases, the May Township and City of Scandia are both in favor of the sale to the National Park Service.
Mr. Corbett, on the private sale, has that price been determined?
Mr. Chair, it is not. We will ask our county assessor's office to set give us a recommendation on a sale price, and then the county board will set the minimum bid prior to sale.
And if the private landowner isn't interested at that point, nothing happens then, or do you have a plan B?
Mr. Chair and Senators, we will set up a value that we believe that the parcel is worth to kind of maximize the public benefit for the sale. If it doesn't receive a bid, we will relook at it then and go through the notice publication again and probably lower the price until we're able to get a sale.
Other questions? Senator Saxog? Seeing none, Senator Saxog will move that Senate File 2627 as amended be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, member.
Senator Saxog, as the next three on the agenda, Senator Saxog, I believe you want to do something with our first one, 2615, is that right?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, Senate File 2615, I'd like to pull.
Senator Saxog pulls Senate File 2615. Senator Saxog, Senate File 2488.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate File 2480 is a bill between the DNR, Itasca County, and the City of Cohasset to exchange a piece of shoreland that the county currently leases to the city and the city manages. The land is going to be maintained the same manner as it is now, which is Tioga Beach. It was the site of the governor's fishing opener maybe 7 years ago. So it's on Pequagama Lake. All three units of government agree to this language. Kathy Lewis from the DNR, Division of Lands and Minerals, is here to answer any questions, and I'm here also.
Questions for Senator Saxog or the DNR? Seeing none, Senator Ingebrigtsen will move that Senate File 2488 be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, motion prevails. Senator Saxog, Senate File 3184. This is a thicker bill there, Senator Saxog.
Well, the reason for that is that it's the lands bill for the largest county in Minnesota, St. Louis County. So Senate File 3184, there's eight sections in the bill. And I believe it's the first time in history that both the DNR and St. Louis County approve of all the provisions, which is a good thing, believe me. John Agaro from St. Louis County is here, as well as Kathy Lewis from the DNR, to go over the bill if anybody has any questions.
Well, I think, yeah, Senator Saxog, you know, I don't need to dig through all of it, but I'm seeing private sale on there in several locations, and if we could just have an explanation of why we're not offering it to the public, that we'd like to get that on public record. Miss Kathy Lewis returns to the witness table. Miss Lewis, as you've heard testimony that the DNR signed off on this, is there a particular reason on Section 1 I see as a private sale? Maybe you want to take us through a couple of those private sales, Ms. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The DNR reviews all the parcels submitted by the county and looks at the issues involved. In most cases, the private sales are small parcels of land. Quite often they're non-buildable, so with private sales they are normally offered to the adjacent landowners, and so that's one of the issues that's being addressed. And then there's also undivided interest that you will see in Section 2, so the most logical owner to buy the property is the owner of the other undivided interest. So that's one of the features you see in Section 2. But you mostly see that there are small parcels, mostly probably are not buildable. That's kind of the flavor that you see for private sale parcels.
Questions for Ms. Lewis or Senator Saxog? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Ms. Lewis, just a brief description. How much money, I mean, we're talking, so when you offer it to a neighboring landowner, is it the going rate again? Market price or less, or you have some flexibility there?
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, members, unless the legislation specifically specifies, the county needs to be selling it at the fair market price. They cannot give a bargain price to an adjacent owner. So I don't see any language that authorizes that lower price rate. That's typically only to a unit of government that they would offer a lower price
rate. Mr. Knopf, you were pointing out an interesting fact about Section 1.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Section 1, if that land is going to be sold to the adjoining owner, that can be done under current law without special legislation.
It's not up on water, I don't believe.
That's what I was wondering. I think it's subdivision 7A, if I remember right. I'd have to look. But I know that we have a special provision for when lots are not buildable to be sold to the adjoining owner. This would seem to go beyond just being sold to the adjoining owner.
Ms. Lewis, or looking for some?
I'm looking for some assistance,
yeah,
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I see that. That's fine. That's fine.
I know that the have been reviewed and discussed between our local DNR staff and the county, but I don't have more details on the parcels at this time.
Did it cause a problem?
No.
Mr. Knopf doesn't really feel it's would cause a problem, but there may have been a better or simpler way to handle it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only issue is if it's going to be sold to an adjoining owner, you don't need special legislation, so you don't need Section 1 if that's the intent. Section 1 would allow generally a private sale, regardless of whether it's the adjoining owner or not. And so I didn't know if there was some other reason that Section 1 was in here. I think you could go forward with this, but it might be a question you want to get from the county to make sure that
the private
reason
sale
that they need this provision. If they're selling to an adjoining owner, we have a special provision for that in Chapter 282.
Thank you for that clarification. Other questions? Seeing none, Senator Ingebretson moves that Senate File 3184 be recommended to pass and laid on the table for possible inclusion in the Public Lands and Waters Bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Saxon,
thank you. Mr. Chair and members.
Now we get the fun part here. Yeah, can I please stay here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Ms. Lewis, if you'd come to the table, I think I'll stay here we'll just weigh in on Senate File 2864. This is the agency's lands bill, the DNR lands bill. And Ms. Lewis and I and Mr. Meyer and I have had some conversations about some pieces of that. The chair was in my office for a while this morning, so we may have some questions and some massaging to do here, Ms. Lewis, but if you would... And I think we'll take questions as you get them, members. So, but we'll let Ms. Lewis kind of walk us through the bill, and then if we have questions, we'll take care of them on the fly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. The first section of the bill concerns the designation of state parks, recreation areas, and waysides, and the language would provide the DNR authority to purchase lands within or adjacent to existing state parks if their ownership would enhance the park's recreational value, and the bill also authorizes the DNR to amend the boundaries of any park thus modified using the existing statutory procedure for the outdoor recreation system, and that is a commissioner's order and publication in the state register. Section 2 of the bill is a technical change recognizing that McCarthy Beach State Park is in both Itasca and St. Louis counties. Section 3 of the bill is looking at clarifying legislative intent toward the Gila Annex Mine State Park. There's basically three directives in statute regarding Gila Annex Mine State Park. This is school trust land. The school trust land is to generate revenue. That's a direction in the statutes. It is a state park, but when the state park was created, the legislature specifically recognized that mining would be allowed in the park in the future. And then the third is that this is a historic designation, and the statutes recognize that historic places must be preserved and impacts must be mitigated. When we look at this issue, we have a stockpile on this property, a large stockpile a company would like to mine. It is probably going to generate up to $9 million for the school fund. The company would actually be able to sign a lease now and start mining in a year or so. But we have to, under the historic designation law, do a study and determine whether we can mitigate the adverse impacts of the property. And so we're saying help us clarify the legislative intent should we, in this case, not have to do the study and be able to proceed to mining. There's also a taconite resource on this property.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Lewis, and what do you think would be called for in terms of dollars to do the study that we're asking to exempt ourselves from? I mean, just ballpark figure.
Mr. Chair, Senator Saxon.
Ms. Lewis.
The Minnesota Historical Society has advised me it's going to be about $20,000 to do the study.
You know, while we're on Section 3, members, I think I'll have Michael Fox come to the table. No since having him sit through maybe some of the rest of it. We certainly would like to hear what he has to say. I believe he'll be representing Minnesota Historical Society. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself as you begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Michael Fox. I'm Deputy Director for Programs at the Minnesota Historical Society. I think Ms. Lewis aptly summarizes the situation here. We have three different goals in statute in two different areas: the mining, the interpretation of the state park, and the requirements under 138.665 to study properties in, as this one is, on the National Register of Historic Places, to ensure that we either can avoid, minimize, or mitigate the result of a state action or an action by its licensee. We don't think that these three things are incompatible at all. This statute, 138.665, was passed in 1993. We've had hundreds of reviews under this section. We did 27 last year. We've never had a situation where we've not been able to come to a resolution with the state agency or its subcontractor to resolve those things. We just think exempting that normal review process in this particular situation is probably not a matter of good policy, and that we hope to continue our conversations. We have a meeting scheduled on Wednesday with members of the House and the department. I hope that we can come up with some alternative language here. We have suggested alternative language that has been not been accepted by the department, but we did want you to be aware that this controversy does exist.
And Mr. Fox, really the Historical Society has never disputed the fact that mining may return piece of property.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we absolutely understand that that's part of the statute, and we don't have a problem with that. We're concerned about how that change to this park will be interpreted and presented to the public as this work moves forward.
Would the Historical Society see the need to ever just to relinquish this property back, to let it go as a historical site, or isn't that part of the equation?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the designation of this as a National Historic Landmark does not rest with us, but is a designation that is applied by the Secretary of the Department of Interior through the National Park Service. We have no standing in either the determination or the withdrawal of such a determination.
Am I right to understand, Mr. Fox, that part of the park actually goes over the tailings hill now? Is that correct?
I believe that's correct, Mr. Chair.
And, I mean, with a path of some kind or some kind of a walk or?
You're obviously more familiar with it than I.
No, but I have been lobbied on this particular one. Other questions for Mr. Fox or Ms. Lewis? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Ms. Lewis, we'll take you, we'll move along, I guess.
Section 4 of the bill, Mr. Chair, concerns, similar to Section 1 of the bill, it concerns the ability to purchase lands adjacent to state forest and thus amend the designated areas of the state forest through the commissioner's order and publication in the state register.
Ms. Lewis, this is one that you and I have talked about privately, in that I'm a little concerned about the DNR in Section 1 and then again in Section 4 being able to change the boundaries of state parks and state forests without oversight from this committee or the full Environment Committee. Any response to that?
Mr. Chair, the reason we brought this forward is there is authority in the Outdoor Recreation Act for the commissioner to designate the boundaries for aquatic management areas, scientific natural areas, wildlife management areas, and the state parks and the state forests are basically the last two, along with the state trails, where we come back to the legislature each year, and each year you see the boundary bill, which you will see in the next few sections, where we're looking at particular properties to add on to existing state forests and state parks. And we did try to narrow the language so it's not a creation of a new forest or a new state park. It would be adding lands adjoining or in the proximity of the parks. So we felt that this issue should be brought forth and see if what the legislature decided we should do on this issue.
Senator Chaudhry.
That answered my question. Thank you.
Your reference to the aquatics, and they're not in statute, though, Ms. Lewis, are they?
Mr. Chair, the Outdoor Recreation Act establishes authority for the commissioner to designate aquatic management areas, so the boundaries are not designated in statute.
Mr. Knopf, is that a
yes?
Is that your interpretation of what we're getting at,
Mr. Chairman? That's kind of the difference between some of the other units of the outdoor recreation system. Is they are they're mentioned in statute, but the individual units are done by the commissioner, whereas state forests and state parks are actually established in statute. The only exception to wildlife management areas is that we have a number in Concon land that were done by statute, but otherwise those are also done by the commissioner. So there is a little bit of a difference between those other units of the outdoor recreation system and parks and forests in that we have statutory boundaries where we don't have statutory boundaries for those other units of the outdoor recreation system.
And members, I think we're talking about some oversight here. I'm not real comfortable with sections 1 and section 4, and it's certainly got a couple other stops. We'll stop on the floor for sure. We will stop in full committee as well if you want some time to think about it, but these are two sections that give me a little anxiety. So,
Mr. Chair?
Senator Saxon.
I'd move to remove sections 1 and 4 then from the bill at this time.
Senator Saxog moves that we, at this time, remove Section 1 and Section 4 from the policy DNR lands bill. Questions? Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Ms. Lewis, Section 5.
Mr. Chair, Section 5 is a technical change. It was clarifying that when we acquire state forest lands, we can acquire them subject to a mineral reservation or not subject to a mineral reservation. Section 6 of the bill concerns the commissioner's authority to purchase lands within the boundaries of the Lake Vermilion State Park for up to $18 million. The bonding bill has language that just passed that removes the restriction on the price, so this section may not be needed any longer.
What a member, Senator Ingebretson.
Mr. Chair, and members, has this park already been officially named Lake Vermilion State Park? I know it adjoins a park, but is it officially named?
Ms. Lewis, is it?
Okay. Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay.
It is in statute, Lake Vermilion State Park.
Members, I would entertain a motion to remove Section 6 if someone so desires. Seeing none, Ms. Lewis, go on to Section 7.
Mr. Chair, Section 7 is park boundary changes. This is expanding the boundaries of four state parks, and we have 708 acres total, and we have Forestville Mystery Cave State Park in Fillmore County, Judge Magney State Park in Cook County, Split Rock Lighthouse State Park in Lake County, and Tetagooch State Park in Lake County. Section 8 deletes parcels from state parks. There's seven state parks involved, a total of 177 acres. These are mostly areas that have development, and the Parks Division went through and identified that these areas would not be of interest to be acquired in the future, and they would remove them from the state park boundaries. Section 9 of the bill is expanding a boundary of a state forest, and most of that property is current state-owned land. There's 140 that's in that township section that they would actually acquire, and this would expand the boundary of Lyon State Forest in Cass County. Section 10 of the bill concerns the issue that you first had up in your committee today, and that is the requirement to sell $6.44 million of state-owned land by June 30th of 2011. When the DNR looks at the issue, looks at the current real estate market, we are trying two sales a year. We have stuff over the counter. We say we don't think we're going to make it for another time. And one of the issues that could help us try to make it is to offer some land at less than appraised value. And so this is a proposal to have authority to sell for less than appraised value until we make the requirement, and then we would stop selling at less than appraised value. And when we normally sell acquired parcels, the money goes into the land acquisition account, is directed to the DNR to acquire more land within the outdoor recreation system. Because of this budget balancing requirement, when we're selling the acquired parcels now, it's going into the general fund.
And now, members, you know that the Jen Olson bill that we dealt with first would affect this, but Mr. Knopf tells me that as we get to the end of the bill, if you want to give him direction to take one provision or the other, he can change the references to 86A.055 as we put the amended bill together. Is that right, Mr. Knopf?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair. Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, I thought the legislature was pretty clear on its desire for the DNR not to sell this land for the purpose of anticipated savings to the general fund. Why is it that 9 months later, the ink is barely dry on that statute or that on that session law? Is the DNR going back and trying to do the same thing that we prohibited 9 months ago?
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry, the Department of Natural Resources honors and respects the provision that we can't sell land within the outdoor recreation system to meet the budget balancing requirement. And we aren't doing that unless we have specific legislative direction to do so, which we're asking for in some cases. But we do have some parcels that are not in the outdoor recreation system, and we are continuing to try to meet the legislative directive to sell state-owned land. And we also have a provision on the bill that says if it's not sold, it's going to come out of our budget, and we're going to have a budget cut. And the message has been clear that since the DNR manages most of the state-owned land, most of the deficit is going to come out of the DNR budget. And so we're caught there in the requirement that we need to sell land or else we're going to have our budget cut. And so that's why we're still trying to sell parcels of land.
Senator Chaudhry. Okay. Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, sections 11 to 35 of the bill primarily concern the sale of DNR-administered land. In most cases, many of the cases, it's because the parcels border water, and so legislation is required to sell the parcels. In a few cases, a direct sale is being proposed. There's provision to sell some CONCON land, consolidated conservation land, by Roseau County, and legislation is needed due to the classification provisions. Overall, there's 25 parcels. There'd be 592 acres if all of them sold. 8 would be by direct sale.
Correct.
17 would be by public sale. There's also provision in here for a land exchange in Murray County, and it's being required because lands were acquired with bonding funds. And then there's an interesting one at the near the end, and that was in Winona County in Rushford Area Drainage Conservancy District. The district was abolished in 1987. The lands reverted to the state, but there's no state agency designated, and the Attorney General's office advised us to go to the legislature to seek the DNR to be in charge of the drainage lands. I can go through each sale parcel one by one if you so desire. Otherwise, I would stand for questions on individual parcels.
Well, Ms. Lewis, I think I might have you walk through some of them. And just starting with Section 11, the Aiken County parcel, is that a public sale? And
it's a public sale.
It is a public sale. This is land the DNR acquired from the county. Is that right?
Mr. Chair, yes. This is land that was tax forfeited land. There's a provision in law that was used quite a bit in the 40s and 50s and 60s that allowed counties to convey tax forfeited land to the Department of Conservation in that case, free from the trust in favor of the taxing districts. And so the DNR has this property. It's currently being managed as the Kimberly Marsh WMA. It's an isolated parcel. It's surrounded by private land. The railroad cuts through the property, and we recommend that we sell the parcel.
In Section 12, we see a 80-acre parcel that is a private sale, but are we being told who the buyer is?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Lewis.
This parcel is the Hooley WMA. It is for a purpose of selling to the Rice Creek Watershed District. They are in the process of repairing Anoka County Ditch 15 and Judicial Ditch 4, that's adjacent to the city of Forest Lake. And what this will do is it will benefit affected properties, and it will make the adjacent properties more available for commercial development. So it would be going into a local unit of government's hands for wetland mitigation purposes.
I think we should put that in the law.
Mr. Knopf, are you recommending we make a little amendment there to include that in the law?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if that's the intent, otherwise it leaves it open to sell to anybody by private sale the way the law is written, or the way that the proposed law is being written here. It seems to me that on 8.8 should say may sell by private sale to the Rice Creek Watershed District the surplus land that is described, so that it's clear it can only be sold by private sale to the Rice Creek Watershed District.
So Senator Ingebrigtsen moves that on 8.8, after sale, insert to the Rice Creek Watershed District. Surplus land that is described in paragraph C. Questions on that? Ms. Lewis, did you want to comment on that?
Mr. Chair, the only reason we did not specify who we sell it to is we try to avoid the provision in the Constitution that you're not creating a special law, and so you don't designate who you are selling it to. What we would normally do is identify that we're selling it to a local unit of government, but we typically do not name the party, so we don't get into that constitutional question of identifying a special law for a special entity.
Do you see how it is worded, though, Ms. Lewis, where it could be interpreted that any private sale could occur there?
Yes,
in its current form.
Well, Mr.
Knopf.
Chairman, Ms. Lewis, on the special law, the constitutional restriction, I'm not sure that it applies to all local units of government in sales. We do that consistently around here. We spell out which local unit of government is going to receive it. I think you might even have some later in the same bill where we specify a city or a town that's going to use it as a park. We've got the special use deeds, that sort of thing. I'm not sure how this one's different from those.
On 8.18, Senator Saxog points out that the last line, it does say a local unit of government would like to use this parcel as a wetland mitigation site.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you want to take that advice, I mean, that would be fine. The question is Rice Creek Watershed District a local unit of government, or some statute it is, some it's not? You could just say to a political subdivision. Might be a broader way of stating that.
I'd move that.
Watershed district is better.
Senator Saxog moves that on 8.8, after sale, insert. Help me with the.
Mr. Chairman, it'd be to a political subdivision.
To a political subdivision. Questions on that? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, I think just to make it match on 8.17, 8.18, just put to a political subdivision.
Senator Saxog will incorporate that into his motion.
Delete local unit of government and insert political subdivision.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Chaudhry, I'm sorry.
Just a question for Mr. Knopf on line 8.18. Is it common for the land bills to state the reasons behind? Is that something that's necessary for a local unit of government would like to use this as a wetland mitigation site?
Mr. Knopf?
Chairman, yes. And that is something we've been doing since probably before my time here, is to give people a reason why it was done, so that people will know when they're looking back 5 years from now or whatever, why did the state do this at that point in time with these land, especially if somebody wants to bring forward another land sale, and maybe it doesn't fit within what we've tried to do in the past, and to make sure that if they're trying to use those as an example, it gives a reason as to why it was done. It's not codified, so it doesn't mess up the statutes or add a lot of language in the statutes, but it is nice to give the reader an understanding as to why it was done.
So, Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, this is the Hooley Wildlife Management Area?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator, it is.
And what is the...
Senator Chaudhry.
What are the requirements of the use? Is it going to stay the way it is, except the local unit will receive wetland mitigation credits? Is that the idea?
Ms. Lewis?
Yes, Mr. Chair. It is primarily a wetland now, so that they would be using it. It's going to be basically staying pretty well in the condition it's in.
But this doesn't go
Mr. Chair, general. Ms. Lewis, when you say, when it's mentioned that it's a
exception here, so this one.
Wetland mitigation site, are there use restrictions in the actual written agreement with the local unit of government?
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I'd have to check on the details on that. It normally is not put in a deed, but it would be when they apply for wetland mitigation credits, there's provisions that they must follow. I can get some more details on that if you'd like.
That would be great. And, Mr. Chair, if the committee would consider putting some of those in there in this provision just to make sure that it is indeed that would be nice.
Mr. Knopf?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, we could do that in full committee if they can get them to us then and amend the bill then.
That'd be great.
I shouldn't have taken that piece of candy. Now I'm having trouble talking. Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, proceed to Section 13.
Yes.
Okay. Section 13 is a parcel in Becker County. It's a state forest parcel, and it was acquired by county board resolution. It has no access. It's no legal access to the parcel. And the reasons it's in the bill is we're asking to be able to use the proceeds to meet the budget balancing requirement.
Section. Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out to members, too, that several of these sections on the public sale, the only reason they're in the bill is to notwithstand the outdoor recreation sales, because otherwise you could sell these on your own, but the money would go into the land acquisition account and would probably be used for acquiring other forest lands.
That is correct.
Ms. Lewis?
Section 14 of the bill is in Beltrami County. It's selling 18 acres of land bordering Cass Lake, and this is a land that was acquired back in 1967 for northern pike spawning. Has not been used for over 30 years for the purpose. It's surplus, and there would be a easement, I believe, retained for the property.
And Ms. Lewis, the federal long arm of the federal government no longer has a hand on that property?
Mr. Chair, the federal government does have some arm on the property and has some restrictions, and we would have the money go into the land acquisition account for that purpose because it does have its hand on it.
Ms. Lewis.
Section 15 of the bill is the Cloquet Forestry Office in Carlton County. The DNR is seeking authority to sell it to local unit of government, and it's the land was acquired through a land exchange. Section 16 of the bill is...
Well, Ms. Lewis, just on 15 there, are you stating what local unit of government?
Mr. Chair, members, no. We have been in conversation with Carlton County Economic Development Authority, the city of Cloquet. So it's not clear at this moment which of those local units of government would be the one that we would be dealing with.
We should add to a political subdivision there, too.
Mr. Knopf?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it might be a good idea on 11.10 to add after sale to a political subdivision again, just because to make it clear that this isn't just it is quite a bit of acreage. It's over 9 acres, and to make sure it's not open large enough so a private party could also purchase it by private sale.
Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, what type of land is this that it falls under the outdoor rec definition?
Mr. Chair, Senator, this is a forestry office. If you're driving into the city of Cloquet, it's on your immediate right. It's in a commercial district. The Walmart is just to the behind it, so it's a prime commercial piece of property, but it's a forestry property.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't know if Mr. Knopf can answer this. So it still falls under the outdoor rec definition?
Well, Mr. Knopf, Chairman, they're bypassing the public sale provisions for state lands. This land, I don't see anything in here that would put this into the general fund. This land, there's nothing in section, if I'm not right, section 15. There's nothing in here about this. This money would go back to the land acquisition account, the way I understand the way the provision is in the bill right now.
Ms. Lewis, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, the intent is that if we reach agreement with the local unit of government, the proceeds would go into what's called the facilities management account, which is part of the land acquisition account, and it would be available as provided in statute for the DNR to purchase land for a building site, to purchase a building, or to improve a DNR facility. And so that's where the proceeds would be the intent to use for this property, not toward the general fund.
Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, why doesn't the DNR just put the proceeds of this into the general fund?
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Senator, we're looking at the issue of we have staff at the site. We would be relocating staff, and we would need the funds to be able to handle that issue.
Back to line 11.10 on the recommended amendment to include to a political subdivision. Anyone want to move that? Senator Saxog moves that language. And questions? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you. I still got everybody with me? Let's go.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Ms. Lewis.
Section 16 of the bill is Cass County. This is a piece of property that has a bit of a history. This is currently a piece of school trust land. There was a commissioner's order that authorized what's called a educational unit managed forest, or otherwise known as a school forest, and that was granted to the Longview School District. They started using this property for school activities. They have a garden site. They have a kiosk. They have trails. We identified that this is an issue that needs to be addressed by our school trust fund issue, and we're in the process of doing a land exchange of acquired forestry land for the school trust land. This parcel will then, when the land exchange is completed, be acquired forestry land, and then we wish to be able to convey it to the school district for less than the value of the land, subject to reversion if the school district abandons the public use.
Do we say to a school district in that? Do we need to, what other school district? Well, I suppose, Mr. Knopf, are you concerned that we're not naming a school district there?
No.
Well, it says district. Does it say 118?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Longville is in there, too.
In the description, Mr. Chairman, it says that as far as who's inadvertently trespassed on the land. But I was just thinking in the language, the land sale language itself in paragraph A, it may sell to a school district by private sale to surplus land.
Senator Pariseau moves on 11.25, is that right, Mr. Knopf?
Yes.
After
sell, Mr. Chairman, insert to a school district.
To the amendment, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Motion prevails. Thank you, Mr. Knopf. Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Section 17 of the bill is a small parcel of land, 0.54 acres, bordering Woman Lake. This is authorizing either a public sale or a private sale. The private sale would be to a local unit of government, possibly for less than value of the land, with a reverter clause. This land was acquired from the federal government and by a quick claim deed in 1993. There are also some trespasses going on the land by adjacent owners.
Mr. Knopf, are you indicating to me that we might be able to clean this one up a little bit?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just pointing out that the department needs to have a special law on this because it does border public waters, but they also have additional language in here that puts the money into the general fund if it's sold.
And they wouldn't need that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you don't want them to sell land for the general fund from as it is in the bill, then you probably would want to remove that later. But
we're not sure if we're there yet, right?
Right.
Okay. Ms. Lewis, Section 18.
Section 18, Mr. Chair. This section is there only because of the budget balancing provision. It is 80 acres of property in Cook County. It was acquired by County Board resolution.
I believe Section 19 is the same in Douglas County.
The Section 19 is an old gravel pit. It is the same situation. It was acquired from DOT. Section 20 is 2.6 acres. It's to resolve an inadvertent trespass by an adjacent landowner. It'd be subject to an easement to allow angling for access. And the DNR had acquired this property by purchase.
21.
Section 21 is for the budget balancing provision. It's another one of those small old gravel pit areas that was acquired from DOT. Section 22 is...
Senator Chaudhry.
Excuse me, Ms. Lewis. Do gravel pits fall under the definition of outdoor rec?
WMA.
Oh, Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Senator... A lot of the small, there are quite a few, and you see quite a few in the bill, that the DOT took the property, took gravel out for the road construction, and then conveyed the property to the DNR. It's primarily a small, shallow bit of water in a lot of cases, and the DNR turned around and designated them as WMAs. So they are officially part of the outdoor recreation system. They're very small sites, but they are part of the outdoor recreation system.
Well, Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, were these some of the areas designated for dove hunting?
Mr. Chair, I'd have to check with our Fish and Wildlife Division to know all that. They've screened the lands and said they were fine for sale.
Ms. Lewis, something you may want to bring to full committee.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I remember that the DNR discontinued its managed dove fields. And gravel pits are a popular place to hunt doves, so that's my question.
Ms. Lewis?
Section 22 of the bill is in Hennepin County. This is a property to sell to a local unit of government for a stormwater runoff program, and it's going to be subject to reversion if it is not used for the public purpose. And it's emergent vegetation right now with a marsh.
Mr. Knopf, where do we want to plug in?
I think, Mr. Chairman, on 15.3 after sell to a local unit of government.
Senator Ingebretson moves the amendment to clean up the language. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ingebretson.
Local unit of government is mentioned in 15.18. That doesn't matter, does it?
Mr. Knopf?
Mr. Chairman, it's generally D is just to describe what the intent was and what you were trying to do, but it seems like the paragraph A actually provides for the sale. I'm not sure if a sale conflicted with D, if it would. I think it could go forward. I think it's better to have it in paragraph A where you're actually stating the sale. That's usually where we put it when we do these directed sales.
And Ms. Lewis, in your summary, I see that this was land that was a gift. Does that hold any significance when you try to sell it again?
Mr. Chair, members, when we what we do is we look at the deed that conveyed the property to the DNR and see if there's any restrictions in the deed on the use of the property. And in this case, there were not. We could have instances where there were restrictions in the deed for a gift, and we would have to honor those provisions.
How's the voice? Do you need water or anything?
I'm doing okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Section 23.
Section 23 of the bill, Hubbard County. This is 30 acres of forestry-administered land. The reasons it's in the bill is because of the budget balancing provision, and it was acquired by county board resolution, and there's a trespass going on the south side of the property also. Section 24 is in Martin County. This section is also in the bill due to the budget balancing provision. It's a small gravel pit known as the Kramer WMA, and the reasons in the bill is because of the budget balancing provision. Section 25 is 1.6 acres of land. It's proposed sale to adjacent landowner to improve their access to the land. That the proceeds would be used for the budget balancing provision. Section 26 of the bill concerns a land exchange. The land was acquired with bonding appropriation and be exchanged with lands of the adjacent landowner. It would provide the state with more wildlife acres and increased water frontage. That would be the benefit to the state.
And Ms. Lewis, yes. Typically they can't get matched up perfectly, so a little money might exchange hands here, or do they have this one figured out?
Mr. Chair.
On a land exchange.
Mr. Chair, the land exchange has to be value for value, and in this case, because of the bonding appropriation will attach to the new land, so we'll have to make sure that if there's any advantage, it's to the state's advantage for the cost.
Thank you.
Section 27 is in there for the budget balancing provision. It's actually two small gravel pits that have been designated as WMAs. Section 28 is in the bill for the budget balancing provision. It's a larger gravel pit. It's called the WMA, and it's 11.36 acres. Section 29 is actually a school trust parcel. It's bordering the Warrow River. It's really small. It's kind of leftover. It's not contiguous to any other state land. The DNR has been working with Roseau County on asset management planning. It's one of the parcels that was identified in our efforts. Section 30 are two consolidated conservation land parcels. One's 0.75 acres, the other's 10 acres. They're not contiguous with any other state-owned land. And it's part of our land asset management planning efforts with the county. And the county would be authorized to sell these parcels, notwithstanding the classification provisions of the law. Section 31 is Wadena County. It's 40 acres. This provision is in the bill because of the budget balancing provision. It's in the Huntersville State Forest. It's acquired by County Board resolution. There's no legal access to the property. Section 31, this relates to Section 12 of the bill, which was the Hooley WMA. This is the Lamprey Pass.
Ms. Lewis, WMA. I believe it's Section 32 that relates to Section 12.
That is correct. I said the wrong number, Mr. Chair.
That's fine.
Section 32 relates to Section 12. It's 57.2 acres. This is also the Rice Creek Watershed District property.
The same language in there.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Chaudhry.
Ms. Lewis, would you describe a little bit more what's going on here with Lamprey Pass?
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, Senator, what this is the provision is to... Mr. Boggess might also be able to explain this.
Mr. Chair,
welcome to the committee.
Members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. I'm also bringing up Doug Thompson from the Rice Creek Watershed District. This provision and provision 12, we appreciate the opportunity to provide a little clarification. They are linked together, and they also deal with an amendment that you, I don't know if you've seen it or not, that will direct some money from an easement that we have sold to Washington County for a transportation project up there. And also, we're working with the City of Columbus to actually do a couple acquisitions that I know Senator Chaudhry has been very interested in up in that area. So it's kind of all tied together. So with that, I'm going to let the Watershed District describe a little bit more about what the situation is.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself as you begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug Thomas, Administrator, Rice Creek Watershed District. First, I'd like to just provide a real brief description of the property. As indicated, Section 12 is the 80-acre Houle WMA in Anoka County. Section 32 is referred to as the Lower Lamprey Pass WMA in Washington County, south of Highway 97. Both of these properties, or all three of these properties, are bounded on three sides by land that is zoned commercial and industrial, and on the other side by land that's zoned for residential development. They're also bounded on two sides by public roads, with the counties having plans to upgrade them to a new county road in the near future, as well as there's two legal drainage systems, Anoka County Ditch 15 and Judicial Ditch 4, which bisect both of these parcels of land. We've been engaged in a process since 2006 to try to deal with longstanding disputes in this area over the management of these two WMAs and the legal drainage systems. We kind of came to a more of a resource management plan approach in 2008 to provide predictability to the existing lands that are served by the drainage systems, provide predictability to the municipalities, as this area is going to, as indicated earlier, going to rapidly develop into fairly high density uses. That property that we talk about is immediately to the east of I-35, the interstate, as well as State Highway 97, which goes into Forest Lake to the east and to Columbus to the west. One of the things that we've looked at is, in addition to providing some of that predictability for the future, we also want to look at these areas for the protection, restoration of enhancing wetlands in the floodplain, which both these properties are located in the within the 100-year floodplain, in order to provide for additional downstream water quality benefits and downstream flood control, which are also concerns in this area. And one of the questions was asked about what are the uses. We're in the process of working on an agreement with DNR that would stipulate a number of conditions. One of those, that it would stay in public use, it would stay open for public access, are the two principal ones. We would be allowed to restore the wetlands that are degraded and partially drained on the properties for use to do some mitigation of some unavoidable impacts for parts of the other ditch repair that'll take place in the area. And then, as Mr. Meyer said, is the proceeds will be used to acquire high-priority parcels adjacent to the Carlos Avery WMA by the DNR. So we think there's a lot of benefit to both the DNR, the two cities, and the Rice Creek Watershed District and the residents that we serve. Thank you.
Senator Chaudhry, as chair of the full committee, are you getting some of that language incorporated when it comes to the full committee, or...?
Mr. Chair, I think we'll talk about it, and if possible, I would, before we get to the full committee, I'd love to meet with you all and get better details on what you're thinking about doing, and if you could bring a map as well, so I can understand what some of the boundary changes you're proposing are. I'm willing to be reasonable, but I'm not going to just sit by and watch Lamprey Pass not be a place to hunt anymore. I don't care how many high rises you put around that thing. Those are my views. So you can try and call it a fait accompli that there's all these developments going around it, and so therefore it's not usable anymore. That might be your opinion, and that's fine, but it's not mine.
Thank you, Senator. I think while we're stopped here on this one, I do have a couple other amendments tonight, and I'm going to move the A5. Mr. Meyer referenced it. Now would be the time for you all to take a look at it, and then Mr. Knopf would like us to add some language about local units of government, yeah, too, there again.
Mr. Chairman, I think to do the same as what you did with the Anoka County parcel would be on line 21.33 after sell, insert to a political subdivision, and then on, that was 21.33.
Yeah.
And then on 22, 22.24 and 22.25, where it's both places where this is a local unit of government, it would be a political subdivision. I think would be
on 22.24 and 22.25
in both places. There's two places where it references a local unit of government. I would insert, delete local unit of government in both instances and insert political subdivision.
Mayor Saxog moves those oral amendments. Those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. To the A5. This is Mr. Knopf. What are we dealing with here?
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, this was some language suggested by the department, and what it would do is that they would use the proceeds from the sale of a transportation road easement on Lamprey Pass. Instead of having it going into the Game and Fish Fund, it would go into the land acquisition account, as I understand the amendment.
Further questions?
Where would we put that language?
Oh, that was actually the A5 that I handed out, Senator Pariseau.
Oh, here.
Or that I had handed out. Seeing none, those in favor of the A5 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you.
Ms. Lewis, I believe we're on 34, 33.
Mr. Chair, we're on section 33. Another Washington County parcel. And this parcel is authorizing the DNR to sell 13.5 acres to the adjacent owner. The land does not have legal access. It's the Bayport. It's by Bayport. It's been operated by the Miller Excavating Company, and the DNR acquired the land by transfer of custodial control. Section 34 of the bill is in Vulcan County. This is the, it's in the bill for the budget balancing purposes. It's another one of those gravel pits. That's a WMA. And there's also a farming trespass on this piece of property. Section 35 of the bill is the Rushford Area Drainage District that I described earlier this evening. That's the bill for you, Mr. Chair.
Questions for Ms. Lewis? Now, members, I have two more amendments. I'll move... pass out anyway the A3 and the A4 for your consideration. The A3 is one that Senator Stumpf brought to me and asked if we would consider it tonight. And maybe Mr. Knopf knows more about this one than I do, but.
Question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ingebretson.
Mr. Knopf. Page 3, the Vermilion State Park, I keep going back to that, but how many acres? You say it's a legal description. The Vermilion State Park now has a legal name. How many acres is that acquisition exactly?
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall the exact acreage. I feel like it's in the 4,500 to 5,000 acres, but I think the DNR would be better able to answer the number of acres than Vermilion than I would. I know it's a significant piece of land.
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, it's about 3,000 acres.
About 3,000. Senator Ingebretson, anything else?
No, Chairman, Mr. Chair, just other than I just see descriptions and acreage is all through the bill here, and I just don't see anything like that attached other than dollars here. Maybe it doesn't have to be, but.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Knopf,
there is a statutory reference to Vermilion State Park, and within that, it has the history, and in the law from 2008, it actually provided the legal description of all the lands that would be included. And what it did was the statute specifies that it doesn't become a state park unless that land is acquired for park purposes. But as I mentioned earlier, the provision that's in here is really not needed anymore because it was in the bonding bill that was signed by the governor. Not the exact same provision, but basically a bypass or an override of the 12% restriction on 12% above the appraised value. So the department really doesn't need this section anymore.
Mr. Knopf, on the A3, this is Senator Stumpf's amendment. Do you have a brief description for me?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, it was also introduced as a bill, and it was It's a private sale of tax forfeited land. I don't know the details behind why it's being sold by private sale and not by public sale. That's something I don't know the answer to. I don't know if Ms. Lewis has been involved with people on this that would know.
Ms. Lewis, are you familiar with this one?
Mr. Chair, members, yes. The DNR has reviewed the parcels. It's bordering Lake of the Woods, the lake itself, and it's within the city area, and the DNR did not have any concerns about the bill.
Mr. Knopf.
Ms. Lewis, if it's bordering public water, shouldn't we have that in here? I mean, the bill didn't have that. The bill of Senator Stumps didn't say anything about public water, and I'm wondering about that.
Mr.
Ms. Chair. Lewis?
It's close to, but it's not actually touching.
Could you throw a rock? Ms. Lewis, thank you for the explanation. Senator Engelbretson, would you move that for Senator Stump?
Yep.
Senator Engelbretson moves the A3 amendment. Further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Members, the A4 amendment. I believe this is something the department wanted for some clarification. And maybe, Ms. Lewis, are you familiar with this one?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Boggess did a great job in explaining it.
Mr. Boggess, welcome to the subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, Ed Boggess, Deputy Director of Fish and Wildlife for the Department of Natural Resources, and this makes a technical change. Our aquatic management area trout stream easements utilize a formula for determining the value, part of which is based on some determinations by the Department of Revenue, and they've recently changed how they calculate using their spring mini abstract survey, how they calculate some of these values. The new language, or the changes in language, is stricken in the new language from 1.12 to 1.18, describe the current system that creates the equivalent values under the new Department of Revenue system, and then the new language on lines 1.19 to 1.24 would just provide some flexibility for the commissioner, if they change again in the future, to be able to determine an equivalent value from data collected by the Department of Revenue that we could plug into this formula for these easement values.
Mr. Knopf has explained to me that it's highly technical. Questions for Mr. Boggess? Thank you. Seeing no further questions, Senator Saxog moves the A4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. We're getting close, members. I just want to take you back to Section 6. I offered an opportunity for somebody to peel that out of there earlier. I'm wondering if anybody's interested now or if you want to see that right all the way to the full committee. Certainly up. This is the language regarding the Vermilion State Park.
Mr. Chair.
What
would be the point? I mean, explain to me why you would want that out of there, or we should take that out of there, or why anybody would
want it. Well, Mr. Knopf can probably give you the short explanation.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingersen, this has already been accomplished in the bonding bill.
So it needs not to be here.
Right.
I'll move it.
Senator Ingersen moves to remove Section 6 from the DNR lands bill. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
And then do we need to,
Mr. Knopf, you've been... Well,
Mr. Chairman, a couple of things. Now you have a number of bills that you've laid on the table. What you could do is move them all as one motion. The aforementioned bills that were laid on the table for possible inclusion, you could have one motion to include all of those in this package as part of a subcommittee, part of a delete all amendment subcommittee report for the full committee.
Mr. Knopf, I never did move Senate File 2864.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's on the table, right? That's the bill, that's the present bill, so you don't need to do anything. But the other bills, except for Senate File 2615, all of the previous bills heard, Somebody would just move to incorporate all of those as amended by the subcommittee to be included as a subcommittee report along with the contents of Senate File 2864 as a delete everything amendment.
So I'd move that all the bills on the table as amended be moved onto the bill that's on
2864.
2864. He passed and sent to the full committee.
I'll just do the.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. We'll do one step at a time.
All right.
Put them on the bill. Just add them as an amendment to 2864.
Senator Saxog moves that the bills that are laying on the table, as amended, be recommended to pass and added to Senate File 28. Amended to Senate File 2864. Questions. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Motion prevails. Now we have Senate File 2864 before us as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Question, does the bill now have conflicting provisions? When you adopted the Senator Jen Olson provision capping the amount that the DNR would sell, now that that's in the bill, doesn't that conflict with the other provisions of the bill that direct the sales to the general fund?
Yes. Mr.
Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, it obviates them. It basically, they would not need to be in this bill anymore because of the Jen Olson bill being included.
So do you want to take care of that now? Or
you
later?
Can. Mr. Chairman.
It would be nice if you took care of it now.
If you want to, what you could do is move a general motion to remove provisions that are only in here for general fund purposes, to remove those sections, and then any sections that are in here for other purposes, but direct the money to the general fund to take the language out from the general fund. I mean, if you trust me to do that, I can have that ready and give it to Ms. Padno for the subcommittee report.
You need a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Not officially on the committee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Senator Pariseau, are you comfortable with us putting all that together?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Pariseau
mm-hmm.
moves to give Mr.
Yep.
Knopf
yep.
the ability to finish
him
putting the bill together.
Him the boss.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it would be to remove all references to balancing the general fund through land sales in this bill.
Further questions, Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. Chair, with that. Was it that also refer to Section 10?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I assume that Section 10 would be part of that motion.
Okay.
Other questions? Seeing none on the Pariseau motion, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ingebrigtsen would like to move the bill, Senate File 2864 as amended. Recommended to pass and sent to the full Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. Questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And opposed. Motion prevails. Thank you for your time. Staff, thanks for all your help. And members, thanks for hanging in there with us. We are adjourned.
Another good session's work.
I believe this.
Good work.